Thank you for listening to Christian Challenge at K-State's podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, follow us on Instagram or visit our website. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Okay, is this on? This is fun. At least am I in the right spot?
Yep.
Okay. This is a little new. I've never done this before. This is about 30 minutes ago. It was the first time I ever set foot on this stage. So I'm like, where do I stand? What am I doing? Okay, there should be some slides. Nikki, put those up. I wanted to take the chance, since we're doing Women's Night tonight, to just show some pictures of staff women. So Nikki, would you just kind of run through those, or Elise, whoever's running the slides? I just go a little bit slower, go back. I wanted to give everybody a chance to see everybody's face. Emma, Brooklyn, Elise, Erin, Jody, me, Stacy. These are all the women who serve on Challenge staff full-time. And then the next slide, what's the next one? These are wives of the men that you know and love who often speak to you. Erica Sapp, that's Nate's wife. Courtney Woods, that's Jim's wife. Darla Jeebach, I think a lot of you know her. She's here a lot of Monday nights. Was that Christine? I know that was Christine. Gail Nutter, Robbie's wife. Mindy Stern, Brian's wife. So, those are fun. And then the next slide. These are the interns currently serving with Christian Challenge. Oh, Reesner, I'm glad you in worship tonight. And Malia Meyer and Paige Michael. So, yeah, we don't get to highlight the women all the time, and so we thought this would be a great chance to just put their pictures up for you tonight. So thanks for doing that, Nikki. That's great. Well, this is fun. I'm really excited to get to share with you on Women's Night. Next week, you're going to get to hear from some of the women whose pictures you just saw. We're going to have five different women share some personal stories next week. And then you're going to get to have an opportunity to ask them questions. There's going to be a panel afterwards, and so you won't want to miss next week. One thing that we've, as we talked about what to do with these two nights, one thing that we talked a lot about, like, should we do topics? Should we do, like, dating, men relating to men? There's all kinds of things. And I polled a few people. I asked a few of you some questions. Like, what would you guys want to hear? What do you think women need to hear? And I got, a dozen different answers. Everybody had ideas. Of course, there was a lot of dating and relationship topics. How to be a godly woman. What does it mean? What's godly femininity? All of those sorts of questions. All of these things are very good, very helpful. But I think we kind of wanted to drill down tonight on something maybe a little more basic that we felt like if we get this, maybe it will help us get all those other things sorted out a little bit, So I hope you're not going to be disappointed that tonight's not like dating or something like that. That's actually two weeks from now. Next week we have another Women's Night. The following week is dating and relationships. So just buckle your seatbelts. That's coming. You will get that. So, and be thinking about next week. You're going to love hearing from the other staff women and getting to ask some questions to the panel. You are going to need your Bibles tonight. I'm going to ask you to look at three short passages of Scripture with me as we go through this evening. I just feel like this is a real privilege for me. I mean, I'm like by far the oldest person in this room. And I'm like, how did I get the privilege of getting to share with you guys? Maybe it's because I'm the oldest person in the room. I don't know. Yeah, thank you. So let me just ask you this. Imagine with me for a minute that I owned a fantastic Airbnb. And like a mansion Airbnb, right? And I invited you to come and stay there and spend a night or two. So on the appointed day, you arrive and you go through the door and you step into this large entryway. And I mean, it's a beautiful entryway. Cozy, beautiful paint on the wall. It has a high window and the light is streaming in. There are these really cool handcrafted wooden benches, where you can sit and take your shoes off. There's all these really cool cubbies where you can put all your stuff, and there's hooks for your coats. I even had a little table like this maybe there with some snacks on it for you, ready to greet you at the door as you came in. So you came in and you had some snacks, you hung up your coat, and then you got out your pillow and blanket that you had brought, and you laid down on the floor right there next to the benches, and that's where you slept that night. And the whole time that you stayed at my Airbnb, you never left the entryway. You never went into the kitchen and found the gourmet meals that I had prepared for you that were ready to eat. You didn't discover that there was a luxurious bedroom upstairs with satin sheets and really soft pillows. You didn't find my library where there were comfy chairs and really fun books that you could choose to read. And you never made it out to my deck that has this amazing view of the valley below. You just slept in the entryway. That'd be crazy, right? You wouldn't do that, I don't think. Well, hold on to that story. We're going to talk tonight about knowing Jesus. That's what I want to talk to you about. And if you will look at John chapter 17, that's where we're going to start out. John chapter 17. So let me give you a little background of this as you find it. The entire chapter of John 17 is Jesus praying. And this is on the night that Jesus was betrayed. It's right before he gets arrested. It's just before he goes to the cross. And the previous four chapters, right before John 17, are Jesus and his disciples. They're all sitting around the table eating the Passover meal together. And if you have a Bible that happens to have red letters for everything that Jesus says, all of these chapters right here are all red practically, because it's just Jesus giving final instructions and encouragements to the disciples. And then here in chapter 17, Jesus suddenly breaks out into prayer. And listen to what he prays. Look with me at verses 1 to 3. He says, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." I'm going to stop there just a minute. This is big stuff, grand stuff. Jesus' earthly life is coming to an end. God is about to glorify Christ as he brings his purposes to completion on the cross. And Jesus says God's given him authority to give eternal life to those that God has given him. And I'm not exactly sure how the disciples heard that or understood it. Like, I don't know exactly what their concept of eternal life was at this point. But I know how we generally hear that phrase, eternal life. We hear it and we think, that's amazing. That's like life forever, right? No end. And when I die, I get to go to heaven and I get to be with God forever, eternal life. But I want you to listen to what Jesus says next, because he defines eternal life in verse 3. I'm going to actually back up. I'm going to start in verse 1 again, and this time I'm just going to keep going. Listen to how Jesus defines eternal life. Verse 1. "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I still remember the first time I read this passage. It blew my mind. I was like, wait, what? Jesus says that eternal life equals knowing him and knowing his Father. I'm not a Greek scholar or anything like that, but I do know a little bit of Greek. And the Greek word in this passage is the word gnosko, for know. And it means to not just know facts about something, but it means to know something relationally, personally, experientially. There's a lot of women in this room. Some of you, I know your face. Like if I see you on campus, I'll be like, aha, she goes to Challenge. I don't know who she is, but she goes to Challenge. Some of you, I know your name. We've met briefly. Some of you I've actually had a conversation with and I know a little bit about. But there are some women in this room that I know very well. We have spent lots of time together. We've had very deep heart conversations and we're friends. That's the kind of know that Jesus is talking about here. And so according to Jesus, eternal life is sort of a vibrant living relationship with him that doesn't just begin in heaven someday, it begins right now. He doesn't just want a passing relationship with you, ladies. He wants deep friendship with you. And sometimes I kind of worry that in our information age, sermons and podcasts and books to read, I worry sometimes that we know maybe a lot about God. But how well do we really intimately know him? Jesus says, that's what I'm inviting you to know me in a very personal way. Don't stay in the entryway. Come on in. Move around the house and see all there is to see. Maybe some of you guys are Chronicles of Narnia fans. Did you read those as kids or as adults? I still read them as an adult. I love them. The last book, The Last Battle. C.S. Lewis uses this phrase about come further up and further in. And I think that's God's invitation to us when it comes to knowing him. There is more to know. Come further up and further in. So think about it for a minute with me. How do you get to know someone? You spend time with them. You listen to them. You observe what they like or what they dislike. You learn what makes them laugh, what makes them cry. It's not that much different with Jesus. You read your Bible. You're looking for how you can get to know him through his word. You pray. You talk to him. Tell him what's on your heart. You listen to what's on his heart. A few years ago, I'm going to tell you a story about a girl. Her name is Kaylee, and she was a freshman at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And so I got acquainted with her, and she was telling me her story. She did not grow up in a church. She did not have a Christian family. But the fall of her freshman year of college, some of her friends that she got to know on campus and introduced her to Jesus, and she surrendered her life to him. And so she's a brand new believer, trying to read the Bible and get going, loving the Lord. So February of her freshman year rolls around, and it's Valentine's Day, right? And a lot of her friends, they all had boyfriends, or at least they had a date for Valentine's Day, and she was feeling pretty sad because she didn't have no boys in her life, no boys on the horizon. And so she was kind of depressed and discouraged and feeling sorry for herself. So she told me, and then I realized, wait a minute, I know Jesus. I have a relationship with Jesus. He loves me. So this is what Kaylee did, okay? She packed a picnic lunch, two sandwiches, picnic for two. She put a blanket in. She put some craft materials in the basket, took her Bible and her journal, and she went up to a hill out off campus somewhere. That was one of her favorite spots, kind of a pretty place. She spread out the blanket. She set the plates on the blanket and ate her sandwich. Spent the afternoon journaling, reading her Bible, just talking to God about what she loved about him, how her life had changed since she had come to know him, just thanking him for all the blessings that he had given her just in those few months. And then at the end of the afternoon, She got her craft material out and she made Jesus a Valentine. And she wrote in there all the things that she loved about him, how grateful she was for him, big heart on the front, you know. And then she packed up her stuff and left. She left the Valentine on the hill for Jesus. I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't eat his sandwich, but you know. When she's telling me this story, there was just such innocence in it and joy, and I was like, I love that, Kaylee. She did not view Jesus as some distant deity or kind of an imaginary friend, but as a real person that she could interact with, someone she could have a real relationship with, someone who could be invited into a disappointing day like Valentine's Day. You know, you guys have probably heard this before, but you will honestly never have more flexible time in your life than you do right now. There might be an exception or two in the room, but I know it sounds crazy, but life will only get fuller and busier. Just wait till you have three toddlers running around when you're working. Is Courtney Woods in the room?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yep, there she is. Three toddlers right there. Or when you start your career and you have a boss that's very demanding of your time. So I want to encourage you, don't miss opportunities these years while you're in school, while you're still single, to get to know Jesus. Spend time getting to know him. Learn to recognize his voice. That brings us to the second passage of scripture I want to point you to tonight. If you'll just back up in John a little bit to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. Here's what Jesus says. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Did you know that you can learn to know and recognize the voice of Jesus in your life? The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. And you know, I was thinking there's a lot of strangers' voices calling out to you women these days. You know what these sound like, I think. You're not enough. Or you're too much. Or you're on your own. Or no one will ever love you. You'll never change. You're the only one who ever struggles with something like that. Girls, this is the voice of the evil one. He's a thief and a robber, and he wants you to follow his voice to destruction. But oh, the joy of the familiar voice of somebody who loves you, that you feel safe with. I know you guys have all had this experience of being in a crowd somewhere and you hear somebody call your name, And you hear it, you recognize it, you're like, oh, you know. Maybe you went to a concert with a friend and you got separated. And then you hear your friend hollered at you, you're like, oh, there you are, finally, thank you, you know. You hear the voice, you recognize it. Or maybe it was your mother when you were in school. Did you ever go to a high school event or middle school? And, you know, there's mobs of kids everywhere. But you can hear your mother's voice, right? You can pick it out of the crowd because it's familiar to you. Back in the day, before cell phones, there was sort of this marvelous thing where the phone would ring and you had no idea who it was. Now, I know most of you are thinking, that's not a marvelous thing. Like, I hate that. You don't prefer it that way. But it was kind of fun, and I remember those days. I'm old enough to know those days. So I can remember, you know, my phone would be hanging on the wall, or it would be sitting on my desk, and the phone's ringing. You're like, the phone's ringing, I wonder who that could be. And I would pick up the phone, and to my delight, it would be my grandmother. And interestingly enough, especially with my grandmother more than just about anybody, I could know who it was within a syllable before she said anything. I would pick up the phone, say hello, and before she could say one word, I would recognize that it was my grandmother. Just the tone of her voice, the lilt of it. Sometimes she started sentences with a kind of a chuckle, which was very unique to her. And so, like, before she hardly said anything, I'm like, Brittany! Her voice was dear to me, and it was familiar, and I recognized it. Jesus wants us to be familiar with his voice. And we do that as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God and we spend time with him. We begin to get familiar with what his voice sounds like. Speaking of phones, I have a confession to make. I think all my staff friends in the room know this, but I'm going to just bring all you guys into this little secret as well. I totally failed the Behold 40. Supposed to be off social media, right? I have a terrible phone addiction. There's not a person in this room I don't imagine who's any worse than I am on your phone. A lot of you are just like me. We just spend way too much time scrolling from one social media app to another. And I had really great intentions during the Behold 40, but I just didn't do very well. I guess I can't say I failed completely because actually, I mean, I did fail, that's true. But actually, the Lord really used it to teach me something. The thing I learned during Behold 40 is I kept failing with my phone. The Lord said to me, Melody, you're treating your phone like a companion instead of a tool. I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was kind of a new thought to me during the Behold 40. I do not want to treat my phone like a companion. I want it to be a tool. You know, I think our phones really rob us of undistracted devotional time and all the little moments during the day when we might have heard the voice of God, hear his spirit speaking to us. Our phones just rob us of those moments because we're on them, we're attached to them. I wonder what the Lord has been wanting to say to you that you've been unable to hear because you were buried in your phone, perhaps. He wanted to say, I know your future feels really uncertain right now. Trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Maybe he wanted to say to you, I know you're feeling afraid and alone. I want to remind you, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's Hebrews 13:5. Maybe he wanted to say, I know you feel unseen and you wonder if you're on your own. I want to tell you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's Jeremiah 31:3. Jesus wants you to be able to pick his voice out above the crowd, to listen for it and follow him. Okay, here's our third verse I want to show you tonight. If you'll flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Just hold it there a minute. When I was in my mid-30s, I entered a season of really struggling with singleness. Like most girls, I think I always just assumed that I would get married one day. I had dated some. I had a couple of semi-serious relationships. I was even engaged once in my 20s. That's a story for another time. And at some point, I remember thinking, I kind of imagine I'll probably get married a little later than most of my friends. I had no idea that that would mean I would be 35 now and still single. I was like, hello, Lord, hello, where are you? Where is he? So I was talking to the Lord a lot at this time about my hopes, my dreams, my heartaches. I was working in college ministry. I loved sharing the gospel and discipling girls, but I was also pouring a lot of tears into my pillow at night about being single. And I was asking, Lord, can I trust you? Are you enough for me? So one morning I was up early, I was having my regular just devotional time with the Lord, sitting in my favorite green chair with my cup of coffee, and I was reading in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's a place starting in verse 16 where Paul, it was in the middle actually, where Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And I want you to look at one of the things that he prays for them. Ephesians 1, 16 and 17. Here's what Paul prays for the Ephesians. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding so that you may know him better. So Paul was praying for Christians. He was praying for people that already knew Jesus. He was praying that they would know Jesus better. So I just started thinking about that morning. And I was kind of praying something like this to the Lord. Lord, I know you, and I do want to know you more. So Lord, whatever it takes, would you please help me know you better? And this thought came into my mind. What if being single is the thing in my life that will make it possible for me to know Jesus better? That's the thing that would push me toward him, that would cause me to have to trust him more deeply. Would I be okay with that? So I was wrestling with that for quite a little while. And then I remember finally praying, Lord, if singleness will help me to know you more, then I ask that you would let me remain single. Now I'm 67 and single, and I don't really know that my current state of singleness is a direct answer to that prayer that I prayed when I was 35. But in God's sovereignty, that is what my life is currently. But I will say that Jesus has been such a close companion to me throughout all of my life. And he has allowed me to know him better and better and better. And I want that for you guys. So I think kind of how I want to end our time tonight is I want to just tell a couple of stories to give you a few, maybe some practical ideas of ways that you could kind of lean in to engage trying to know Jesus better. Like, what would that actually look like? So maybe you'll connect with one of these ideas. Around the same time that I was reading in Ephesians 1, I had just heard Louis Giglio speak. And he had talked about how it was a great exercise to praise God through the alphabet. Do you guys all know who Louis Giglio is? Like, he's the head of Passion, right? The leader of Passion. This was before Passion. We actually had Louis Giglio speak at the Kansas Collegiate Fall Conference in Salina one year. It's crazy. It's like way before Passion. But anyway, so he had just thrown this suggestion out, right, when I had heard it. You should praise God through the alphabet. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to start that. So I brought my journal. This is a journal. I went digging and found this in my closet. It is my October 9th, it's from September to October, 1992, 1993. That's 30 plus years ago, ladies, whoa. So it was around this same time that I was doing this Ephesians work. And so here's what I did. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take Louis Giglio's suggestion. So I'm just gonna read you what I wrote on October the 20th, 1993 in my journal. I really like Louis's suggestion to praise God using the alphabet, looking for the character of God. Father, as I go to bed tonight, I want to worship you because you are able to handle me, to not only put up with me, but to love me. You are able to see Jesus in me and to continue working his image to completion in me. You are able to sustain me when I feel weak, able to bring good out of bad, able to work for good in all things in my life and in the lives of my friends. You're able to give me peace. You're able to sustain my life. I love the song that we're currently singing at Challenge 30 years ago. He is able. I'm quoting the lyrics to this song. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. So that was my first A that I wrote in my journal. The next day, I wrote about the word always. The day after that, I did awesome. The day after that, I did Jesus, you are all I need. And it just goes on and on. And that started kind of a habit in my life where I went on to make 3x5 cards where I just have letters of the alphabet and I just have brainstormed over the years everything I can think of that's true of God that begins with that letter. And I've got scriptures out beside it, verses that show that throughout the Word of God. I think the only letter that I don't have something for is X, so maybe somebody can help me with that one. But this has been a really rich exercise for me over the years to just occasionally go back and it just kind of gets you out of your box, helps you think creatively, like, let me think, how many words can I come up with that begin with the letter D that I can say that's the character of God? That's what God is like. Another thing I did during the season was I started having date nights with Jesus. I had a roommate who was dating, and she was often gone on Friday nights on a date. And I wasn't dating at the time. I'm like, well, you know, I'm home alone. So I decided to start going to Village Inn. I don't even know if the Village Inn's still a thing. I don't even know if they exist anymore. But I would go to Village Inn on a Friday night after the supper hour, and I would get a piece of pie and a cup of coffee. I would take my Bible, my journal, and I would just spend an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'd work on my scripture memory. I would just catch up on journaling, maybe catch up on my reading if I was a little behind that week and what I was in my Bible reading plan. And I would just talk to God about what was on my heart, just have extended time with him, sitting in the Village Inn, kind of like I was having a Friday night date. Of course, you know, you'd like to think your boyfriend would take you somewhere better than Village Inn, but you know, it worked for me. Another thing I started doing was just getting away, like maybe about once a month, sometimes every 6 weeks, I would take a half a day, a morning or an afternoon, maybe Saturday, and I would go to a park that I loved. And it was right by a hotel that I also loved. It had a beautiful foyer. So if the weather was great, I would sit out at a picnic table in the park. And if the weather was bad, I would sit in the lobby of the hotel and I would just, again, take my Bible, my journal, my scripture memory. And I would just have undistracted time. This is before cell phones, people. And I just can't say enough how my own life has been disrupted by the constant presence of this thing in our pocket, you know, all the time. So I would just go and I would not have distractions. I wouldn't check any text messages. Nobody was calling. Nobody, my roommates knew where I was, you know. And I could just listen to the Lord, spend time with Him. And of course, there's just no substitute in your life as you get to know Jesus for just the daily rhythm of reading His Word, having a plan, working on scripture memory, meditating on scripture daily. These are the ways that God's voice becomes familiar to us. How many of you were at the Cove? Okay, several of you, quite a few of you. I don't know if you caught this in one of JT's talks. I actually texted him after, because I wanted to know if this was an original quote from him or if he was quoting someone else. Did you hear him say this? Spiritual disciplines are a playground. I wrote that in my notes. I was like, wait, that's amazing. That's great. That's a great way to think about it. And he said he thinks he made it up. So there you go. Spiritual disciplines are a playground. I think sometimes we think about quiet time, scripture memory, you know, time alone with God, silence, solitude. Maybe you've tried fasting. These things, they feel sort of heavy to us or dutiful, like, oh, if I want to be a good Christian, I got to do these things. No. These are invitations to you to play. Be creative. Have some fun. What could you do? Spend Valentine's Day with Jesus. Go on a date night with Jesus. Introduce one of your hobbies to Jesus. See how you can include Him in that. Have some fun with it. Okay, I'm wrapping up. When it comes to the spiritual life, I want everybody to kind of tune me in here. If I've lost you, come back. When it comes to the spiritual life, I think a lot of you women are doing all the good and right and helpful things. You're coming to Christian Challenge. You're maybe going to church on Sunday. You're in a life group. You believe all the right doctrine. Check, check, check. But I want to say to you tonight, none of those things can bear the weight of your life. Now, or when you move on beyond college. We've talked quite a bit, a lot lately among some of the staff about some students, you know, just various students that we've known over the years that were very involved in Challenge, key students that you think are doing great, and then they graduate and they move on, and after a couple of years or three, you hear they're not walking with the Lord anymore. You know the word deconstruction. You know, a lot of students go on to deconstruct their faith. And I don't know, but I've wondered, is it because they did all the right things, but they never learned how to really meet and get to know Jesus in personal, intimate ways? I don't know. I just know that all the right things cannot bear the weight of your life. Only Jesus can. And you'll only trust Him to the degree that you really personally, deeply know Him. So I want to urge you women tonight to be fierce in your determination to get to know Jesus better. Guard time with Him. Say no to your phone. You may have to say no to your friends sometimes. Or you could take your friends with you to go spend time with Jesus. That'd be fun. Do that sometimes instead of watching movies or Netflix or whatever. I just want to say to you, please don't stay in the entryway. Jesus has a whole house full of delights for you to discover and enjoy as you grow to know him better and better. I don't want you to miss out on knowing him in that way. What I'd like to invite you to do right now is we're going to give you a few minutes, and I would like to just give you some space to journal. If you took any notes while I was talking, you could look at those a little bit, review them. But we're going to give you just a few minutes to think about, maybe there's something that you heard tonight, something that the Lord said to you that stood out to you, something that landed and you were like, that's for me, I needed to hear that. I want to know Jesus better. So maybe you want to journal a little bit about that, or if you just want to sit and pray, but we're going to give you a little stretch of time, so there's no rush. So take a deep breath and just kind of settle in for a minute. And then after a bit, Hope and the worship team are going to come back up and lead us in a couple of worship songs to close out our time tonight, okay? So let me pray for you as we begin this time of reflection. Lord, I just thank you that you are not a God far off. You're not a God who keeps us at a distance, but you are a God who loves us and wants to have meaningful relationship with us, and that you invite us into that. And we can know you. We can know you, all of us in this room right now, myself included, we can know you today better than we knew you yesterday. So Lord, help us to be creative, help us to have some fun, to treat spiritual disciplines like a playground where we could explore different ways of getting to know you. Lord, help us to be diligent to engage your word faithfully and let the word of God speak to us, so that we could learn what your voice sounds like, that we could recognize it when we hear it, so that we would not be swept up by the voice of strangers that want to steal, kill, and destroy. So Lord, we just give these next few minutes to you tonight, in Jesus' name.